everyone. Thanks for being a part of our online campus. Man, I'm so grateful that you have again joined us. I know that I've been covering some hot topics, if you will. I get it. This isn't something I joy in or delight in or wake up in the morning and I just want to be controversial. I'm actually the opposite in my personality. I just see that we are facing a crossroad in our nation and that these are serious times and God is the only answer. A revival is what we need. And so I want to continue to share on a culture of life, and the sanctity of human life. And again, this isn't something I talk about a lot, but we as the people of God need to be embracing life, light, and love amidst a culture of death, darkness, and hate. And human life is precious. Human life is valuable. And if we don't know certain biblical principles, if we don't know God's word on the facts of life, then we're going to see more innocent people and their lives taken with no sense of guilt, no sense of remorse. We only get one life, and we need to live it to its fullness, and God desires to give us a rich and abundant life. So let's talk about the origin of life. Let's talk about the sacredness of life and how God views life and the high value He puts on a human life. If you haven't asked the question yet, where does life come from, then I'm not sure if you're home, really at home, even inside of your own body. I think everyone at one point has the question, where does life come from? Where does life begin? There's basically two worldviews, a secular worldview on the origin of life and where it comes from and begins, and then a biblical worldview. The secular worldview is the theory of evolution. Charles Darwin, some would say, would be the father of this worldview, and that things are just here by happenstance, and it's an evolution or a evolutionary chain of events. And when people buy into that worldview, they devalue human life. They lose the value and preciousness of life, and that we're all, if you will, here by accident. And I'm here to tell you that that is destructive, and your children need to be spared that kind of worldview. And we need a biblical worldview that there is a creator God, and that we are not here by accident. We are here on purpose for a specific purpose, and that God has a divine design, that He has created you in order to fulfill a divine purpose. And so that's a biblical worldview. I want to, and I could go to so many resources on where life begins now and the science of life and creation of life. And there are so many wonderful websites available if you're serious and you really want to know the truth about the value of human life and life, if you will, in the womb and things of that nature. Science and technology has finally caught up with the Word of God, and you can dig these things out if you want. One of the things I love about being born in America and the Constitution that we have here as American citizens is I'm a dual citizen. I'm an American citizen, and I have that citizenship, but I also have a heavenly citizenship. And Paul actually used his Roman citizenship to leverage the purposes of God in his life at times. And he called upon his Roman citizenship when he got in some situations where it was advantageous to glean from that. And so our Constitution is precious to me. People make fun of you today if you are a patriot. They make fun of you if you believe in the Constitution. And while I don't believe it is on par with Scripture, it is divinely, I believe, inspired, and that the founders, like all of us, were flawed and had their own issues. But when you look at what they put together for us and that we are responsible to pass down to the next generation, The Constitution of the United States is a founding document that is different than anything ever known in this world. It's different than anything anywhere else in the world. It actually, if you will, enshrines freedom and liberty and restricts the government and celebrates the individual and acknowledges, think about this, a government document acknowledges that our freedoms come from God, our liberties come from God, and that they cannot be taken away. Let me just give you a part of the Constitution. You're familiar with it, but it talks about life, and it matches the message. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable rights means that man can't grant these rights, nor man withhold or take these rights away. They're unalienable rights, that among these, not limited to these, but among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is just so powerful that within our founding documents, God is honored as Creator, and that our life comes from Him. Our liberty comes from Him. Our pursuit and right to pursue happiness, which literally is a way of saying pursuing what God's will for your life is, pursuing what God's plan for your life is, being all God's called you to be, and do all God's called you to do. We are all created equal. Man, I could spend a long time on this because that is confusing. When it says we're all created equal, it doesn't mean we all have the same talent, the same abilities, the same gifts, the same graces even in the kingdom of God. We're created equal in the sense of beloved of God, of high value to God, of precious to God. God doesn't look at one person and their abilities and another person with different abilities and devalue one or overvalue the other. All of us are valuable to God. All of us are beloved by God. We're created equal in the eyes of God in the sense of we're all loved with the same love. We have all been granted the same value and high esteem in the eyes of God. Created equal doesn't mean equal outcomes. Even under the law, we should be treated equally under the law, meaning no favoritism. And yet, boy, those are some high, high goals that many times aren't reached. Bottom line is life comes from the Creator God. We are a part of creation. In 1973, the abortion laws that were passed were, if you will, like so much of today, wrapped in corruption, wrapped in lies, wrapped in falsehoods. We didn't have the technology in 1973 when Roe versus Wade was passed and abortion became the law of the land. The shedding of innocent blood became the law of the land. The taking of an innocent life became the law of the land. We were promised that abortions would be rare. They would be safe. And of course, then they would be legal. Well, they certainly haven't been rare with millions of lives taken. And they're not safe for the baby. I can tell you that with 100% certainty. And I can also tell you that it's not safe for the woman. Many things are finally surfacing and women speaking up and speaking out of the damage that abortion created in many different ways in their lives. We were told again, and the argument was, this is not a human being. Think about that. We were literally told this is not a human being. All genocide in the history of the planet begins with the dehumanizing and valuing of human life. And so we were told it's a tissue mass. It's just a fetus, which now science has confirmed is an outright lie and corruption of what God intended for life to be. We're also told, and the argument was, a woman has a right to her own body, which is not biblical. The Bible teaches our bodies belong to God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about the covenant of marriage and how our bodies are for our spouses. And while we were told a woman has a right to her own body, what about the female babies that have been aborted by the millions? Did they not have a right to their own bodies? As Planned Parenthood has been exposed and shown to have sold body parts of aborted babies. These are all lies. These are all part of a culture of death, a culture of darkness, and literally a culture of hate for our legacy. And yet God has spoken into these things, and God has made it clear about human life and the value of human life and where life begins. And in Psalms 139, and I'm only going to read a few passages, there are multiple passages that celebrate human life, that celebrate how life comes from God. In Psalms 139, verse 13, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. You made all, now listen to this, this is so powerful, right out of the Bible. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, how hard is that? I don't know how anybody can miss that. You knit me together. You dealt with all the delicate parts of my body and knit it all together. Where? In my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me, listen to this, you saw me before I was born. You saw me. You didn't see a tissue mask. You didn't see a fetus. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And that ought to settle it for everybody that has a heart. That ought to settle it for anybody that wants a culture of life, wants a culture of light, and wants a culture of love, love for our children, love for human life and the value and how God sees human life. Every life is precious. Every life is of high value to God. And He knew us in our mother's womb. Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah celebrating life, celebrating literally his call. Jeremiah chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 4 and 5. I'll continue with the New Living Translation. I think that'll be good. The Lord gave me this message. Now, this is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah and gave him a message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. So who forms us in our mother's womb? God does. God is involved in conception. God is involved in the creation of life. Yes, He partners with a dad and a mom. He partners with a male and a female. He partners with us in the bringing in of life, but men do not create life independent of God or God independent of men. It's a partnership God made with Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And many times I've said this, I've never heard anybody say this, and I'm standing by it. We did not come from our parents, we came through our parents. We came from God through our parents. God is speaking to Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now think about that. He had not yet been born. He had not made his choice of life or death. But God, in His sovereignty, God in His foreknowledge, God in creating us on purpose and for a purpose, called him and appointed him a prophet in his mother's womb. Wow. That could take hours. I've got some teachings on this. that talk about purpose and living life on purpose, and that you are not here by accident. And if you're watching me right now, this is not by accident. God loves you and God loves your children. And I'm not condemning anybody that's had an abortion. God loves you. But I'm not celebrating abortion or promoting abortion either because of the scriptures and because I love life. And God wants you to love life. I love light, the truth. And God wants you to love light and the truth. And God wants us to love love and not hate. And so Jeremiah was designed by God and fashioned by God on purpose for a specific purpose. I just did some teaching for one of my friends in another ministry on marriage and raising teenagers and just helping parents deal with the awkwardness of being a teenager and going through your body's changing and your mind is changing and your hormones are changing and everything's changing at breakneck speed in a teenager's life. Their brains are not even fully developed. Our brains were not fully developed till 25, science tells us today. The age of 25. And so they're going through this massive change. And one of the things that's so important is to teach them they're okay. It's okay to be different. It's okay to feel abnormal. It's okay to feel like you don't fit in. God made birds with feathers and light bones because he had a purpose for them to fly. He made fish with gills and scales because he had a purpose for them. Live underwater, breathe underwater. God made your kids. He made you for a specific purpose and on purpose. And we need to learn to celebrate our life and know that God is singing over us and God is celebrating our lives. And he made us the way we are. There's things about me I don't like about my flesh and my personality and on I could go. But God made me the way I am to do what I'm doing, even right now. You know, one of the things people don't know about me that don't know me personally is, again, I'm not a controversial type person. I don't like debate. I don't like arguing. I certainly don't have anything to do with strife. And yet God made me that way, but then he gives me these messages that are to be bold and to be courageous. And I believe there's a reason for that. I believe that God wants me to be bold in the Lord, not rude after the flesh. My heart is sensitive towards you and whatever you've gone through and whatever you're feeling right now and whatever you're struggling with on so many different levels. But me sympathizing and empathizing and whining with you isn't going to change a thing. Me telling you God loves you is what's going to change your life. God made you the way he made you. He made you on purpose and for a purpose. And he appointed you and he anointed you in your mother's womb to be a mechanic, or to be a doctor, or to be a lawyer, or to be a pastor, or to be a prophet. Amen. And again, I got a lot of teaching on this that would, I think, be a blessing to you. And you can download all that for free. The bottom line is you need to see out of the Word of God what God said to Jeremiah is, I knew you in your mother's womb, and I called you and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. All right, Galatians, this is the Apostle Paul. Let's see what he had to say about life in the womb, God's plan for our babies. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 15. I'll just stick with the New Living Translation. I don't know what is on my notes, but I'm liking the New Living, so we'll stick with it and see how this translates. He says, verse 15, but even before I was born. Now that's in your mother's womb. Before you were born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. Wow. That's the New Testament now. Parallels with Jeremiah. Paul is saying, even before I was born, God chose me. See, God chooses our babies in the womb. He fashions them. He gives them their personality. He gives them their bent in life. He gives them their brains. He gives them their hearts. He gives them their organs. Again, he gives them their gifts, their talents in an immature state in the womb. And Paul is saying, look, man, God chose me before I was born to do what I'm doing, to reveal His Son to me and to minister to you. God called me in my mother's womb. God anointed me, appointed me by His grace to do exactly what I'm doing right now. And I just celebrate that. And I am so thankful for life. In Luke chapter 1, Luke, and it's interesting to note that Luke was a doctor. And in Luke chapter 1, he records in verses 39 through 44 some biblical, if you will, facts about life in the womb. And this ought to help you. This ought to encourage you. And again, if the issue isn't me or anybody else trying to condemn anybody that's had an abortion, man, there's forgiveness for all of us for any transgressions or sins or iniquities. God is in the business of forgiving. God's in the business of cleansing and washing. But He's also in the business of life and light and love. And Luke, in his gospel, reveals some things that are just fascinating to me. This is in regards to John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 39. Where are you at? Verse 39, 36. All right, 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judah, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house, greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greetings, King James Bible says, at the sound of Mary's voice, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. Elizabeth's child was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus that prepared the way for Messiah. And so Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And when Mary began to share all the angel had told her and about her having a baby and it being the Messiah, the Bible says that Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women. Your child is blessed. So Mary is telling Elizabeth, who is 6 months pregnant at this time, she's 6 months pregnant, and Mary's telling her, I'm going to have a baby. It's going to be the Messiah. The Holy Spirit has come upon me, and I have conceived as a virgin. She's telling Elizabeth these things. John the Baptist, inside of Elizabeth's womb, is leaping here, it says, and heard her voice. Look at verse 43. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. The baby in my womb jumped for joy. Joy is an emotion. Joy is a human expression. John the Baptist was fully human. He wasn't a fetus. He wasn't a tissue mask. He was a human being. A human being at 6 months that could discern and hear the Word of God, could hear the promise of the Messiah, could hear the greeting of Mary to his mother Elizabeth, and it says he leaped, he jumped for joy. You know, in 1973, when all this came down, all this death, darkness, and hate, when all of that transpired, modern science had not caught up with the Word of God. Our technology had not caught up with the Word of God. There were no sonograms. There was no way to scientifically document life in the womb. Today, we have no excuse. The only reason to continue down the path we've been on is people love death. They love darkness and they love hate. Because if you embrace life and light and love, then you know where life begins. You know that that is a human being. You know that they have feelings, they have emotions, they have intellect. John the Baptist was able to discern the good news of the Messiah. I mean, I don't know what people need. See, I didn't need sonograms back in 1973 to believe the Word of God. I don't need any scientific evidence today. And we live in a culture where young people are screaming about science, and this is science, and there's scientific evidence. And yet they ignore the science of life in the womb. They ignore the science of this is a human being. They ignore the science that it has emotions, feelings, a life that came from God. I'm going to back up in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, here's a remarkable statement about John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Now, this is in regards to John the Baptist. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the Lord's eyes," or the eyes of the Lord. "He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth." Wow. I don't know what people are missing. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. You don't fill a tissue mass with the Holy Spirit. You don't fill a fetus, which that's a whole nother issue there, the word fetus. And I don't have time to really explain how we've corrupted that word. And it's come to mean non-human. It's come to mean tissue mask. Fetus there is a human being. And it has body parts. It has a brain. It has intellect. It has emotions. It has everything that anyone has outside the womb. I remember one time, people just want to argue for death. They want to argue for death and darkness and hate. And I'll do my best to help somebody that wants help, but they were saying, well, you know, until it's outside the womb and it's viable, it's not a human being. I mean, I've heard people say until it takes its first breath outside the womb, it's not a human being. I mean, how dark does your brain have to be? How much hate has to be lodged in your heart to think like that? How much do you love death to think like that? That baby's been breathing through the umbilical cord and oxygen through its mother's blood all 9 months while in the womb. And so then they'll go from past that of breathing to, well, it has to be viable. If it's not viable, it's not human, and it's okay to eliminate its life. What in the world are people talking about viable? You know, when you bless people's hearts, man, God loves us. We're going to be okay by the grace of God. We just need help. I raised 4 kids, and I mean, they weren't viable. They couldn't live without my help more than 3 days. I had to feed them. I had to clothe them. I had to house them. They would have died outside the womb without my care. And so there's another argument that's based in nothing but lies, rejects God. Remember my last message, and you need to go over it again. We need to choose life. What does it mean to choose life? It means to choose God's word. It means to believe God's word is final authority. And yes, science and technology is caught up with the word of God. So if you need evidence, it's available. Google it. And you'll discover that science upon science is documenting life in the womb. Again, I don't need science. I don't need technology. I've got the infallible word of God. I've got truth, God's word, and I've shared it with you. And I want to encourage you to teach your children to choose life, to choose light, to choose love. Teach your children to embrace a culture that is a counterculture to this other culture, because God is the creator of life. Life begins in the womb, and God has a plan for every single one of us. And I've already shared with you and shown you how that it was sealed in a book while we were still in our mother's womb. If you've had an abortion, again, God loves you. I love you. There's forgiveness. There's mercy. There's cleansing from that. Many people have had abortions that didn't want them. They were lied to. They were pressured by their parents. They were pressured by a boyfriend. They were pressured by a husband. They were pressured by a CEO of a company and threatened you're going to lose your career. Man, I understand all of that. I'm a pastor. I deal with a lot of this different kinds of stuff. And God is sensitive to that. And God is merciful. His grace, I promise, will be sufficient. But it's time that we, as a culture of life and light and love, lovingly push back, lovingly speak the truth, and speak it truly in love, that a generation might be saved. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for everyone listening to me. I thank you that you've created us. You've anointed us. You've called us for such a time as this. And if there ever was a topic that your people need to stand out as a counterculture, this would be it. May we be pro-choice. May we choose life and embrace life. Again, I pray for your cleansing and your washing, your forgiving and your empowering. And I pray, oh God, that we would love the truth, love the light, love and embrace life, Jesus Christ and the cross. In his name I pray, amen and amen. Thanks for being a part. God bless you.